Members, before we begin, I'd just like to remind you, I know that passions are very roused and people get very passionate about what I'm talking. I'd just like to remind you of Standing Orders 19.1 and 19.2, which reminds you that councillors shall conduct debate politely and with due respect to others. And also that they should not use foul or offensive language. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that was the case, but I do think that passions have got a bit roused in the last couple of meetings, and I'm hoping that the standard will be higher in this meeting today. Could I also remind you that you must use a microphone? It makes it very difficult for the recordings if you don't use it. I know they might have to be moved around a bit. But please make sure that you use the microphone so that everything is recorded in the meeting. So item one on the agenda, apologies. I invite the Chief Executive to give any apologies received.
Thank you, Mayor. Apologies have been received from Councillor Mrs. Jones and Councillor Hudson.
Thank you. Item two, are there any declarations of interest? Councillor Goodbar.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I've got an interest in item 10 in respect of a registered disclosable pecuniary interest relating to selective licensing, and there are selective licensing elements within the corporate plan refresh, so I will declare an interest and leave the meeting at that time, not taking any part in the meeting.
Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Likewise, I have a similar pecuniary interest as a selective license holder, and I'll do the same. I will leave the meeting for that item too.
Thank you very much. Item three are the minutes of the previous meeting held on the 28th of February 2022. I propose the approval of the minutes. Could I have a seconder? Councillor Allen. Now we should go to the vote.
Mayor, can I raise a point of order, please? And that is section 3A 11.1. The minutes are actually incorrect. At entry 186, the minutes of the meeting from the 13th of December, Councillor Hall and I abstain from that vote, but we're not shown as abstaining. If you also look to 205 of 22 of the private minutes from the 13th of December, you'll see that there are five people that are abstained from that vote. I'm suggesting it could be because they weren't there. However, Councillor Whittaker is shown as voting for those minutes. The minutes from the 13th of December, not the private minutes. He's shown as voting for those, so there's some discrepancy there.
I'm not sure it's just correct. So we'll ensure that these are checked and corrected, Councillor. And now we'll move to the vote. Those in favour of the minutes, please show. Those against? And any abstentions? Thank you, the motion is carried. Item four on the agenda is announcements. I haven't got anything to announce today, but the Leader of the Council has. Leader.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I just wanted to put some, make an announcement about. It is on. Can you guys hear me over there? The light doesn't work. The light's here though. So I just thought I'd make an announcement about the work that's been ongoing and started in earnest about supporting people that are trying to escape Ukraine and what the tyranny that's going on there in the search of a better life and a more peaceful more peaceful life here in the UK. So we've made some changes, quite a number of changes to the website. Some members may see we've got the flag of Ukraine on the main website there, and there's lots of information that's developing every day. There's lots of different announcements coming out from government on advising people on how they can find out how to get their loved ones over to the UK, or the assistance around the £350 a month. as well. And we've also actually ordered a Ukraine flag that we'll put on top of the town hall. But there is a bit of a waiting list for Ukrainian flags. No surprise. On the 28th of February, there was a motion passed that asked us to write to the MPs to ask them for their advice and support and to help us with the effort of communicating with residents about what they can do and who to contact. And I've had a reply from Kate Griffiths, which I'm happy to share with the council on email after. I haven't had a reply from Michael Fabricant yet, but it has been only a couple of weeks, so I'll circulate that as soon as possible. And then the other item I thought was of interest to members, would be of interest to members, is that obviously the council has various number of investments and contracts, particularly energy contracts as well, which may contain some exposure to the Russian sanctions, and officers are reviewing that as we speak, and it's ongoing. Nothing at this point has turned up just yet, but we'll continue to do that just to check and make sure that we're not exposed. Of course, there's going to be an impact to the economy, already has been anyway, but we wouldn't want to be find ourselves invested in something over the Russian border, so to speak, Madam Mayor. So those are just a few announcements that I thought members might be interested in learning about. Happy to provide any more detail or context on email, though, after.
Thank you. So I move on to item 5, urgent business. I did receive an urgent question from Councillor Grosvenor. The UK national, Alina Price, who is the Ukrainian fiancé of Marchton resident Neil Hattislow, is currently stranded overseas after flying to Poland to try and get her family back to the UK after they'd escaped from Kyiv. They were refused entry at the airport in Poland after having visa issues. In addition, we now see that ESBC has released a statement saying that we are ready to help people displaced by the war. Council will recall that item 188/22 on the council agenda for the February 28th was an urgent motion raised by me calling on our MPs, Kate Griffiths and Michael Fabricant, to provide assistance to help get family, partners and friends out of the country. Has the council contacted our MPs to advise them of this motion, and what was the response? Councillor Grosvenor, I think your question has already been answered by the leader.
I don't think it has, Madam Mayor. The question was, has the council contacted the MPs and what was the response? I've not heard the response yet.
Okay, so we can take... Do you wish to take that, Leader?
As I said in my just brief announcement, the answer is yes, and I will circulate it after the meeting.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll move on then to item 6, to agree a councillor to be appointed leader of the council. Can I seek a proposer, please? Councillor Goodger.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would like to propose Councillor George Allen to be leader of the Staffordshire Borough Council.
Thank you. And can I have a seconder, please? Councillor McGarry, thank you. Okay, so we'll now go to the vote. All those in favour?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make another proposal.
Oh, would you? Right, okay. Please do.
Yeah. I've got no objection to Councillor Allen being leader of the Conservative group. I don't believe Councillor Allen should be leader of the council. I think we need a better candidate, a more experienced candidate, a candidate that's got great experience in the council, someone who has served in many positions and is well thought of in this council, has been a councillor for a large number of years. I'd like to propose Councillor Bernard Peters.
Councillor Peters, do you accept that nomination?
I'm very grateful for Councillor Grosvenor's kind words, but in the current climate, my allegiance is to Councillor Allen. But thank you very much for your message.
Thank you, Councillor. So I think that's the answer to you, Councillor Grosvenor.
I'd like to move a name vote on this item, Madam Mayor.
Is there support in the council for a named vote? Seven.
councillors, could you raise your hands again, please? Those in favour of name vote. One second, councillors. Councillors, thank you very much. That's enough for a name vote.
Okay, so we'll proceed to a name vote. Monitoring officer.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillors, I'm going to read out your names in alphabetical orders, if you could let me know if you're...
Sorry.
Madam Mayor, I thought this was we were allowed to speak on this appointment. I spoke to Andrea this morning, and she informed me that we were allowed to speak on this. Is that not the case?
There didn't seem to be any interest in that. Well, I'm happy for you to speak, Colin, if you wish to. Councillor Whitson, please do.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'd like to have that opportunity.
Please do.
I've been a councillor for almost 12 years, still a newbie by some on the opposition side. I've enjoyed the challenges that has presented and working some with excellent councillors and officers along the way. Councillor Allen is an outstanding campaigner. He works hard, and I'm convinced he has a copy of the Constitution on his bedside table. From the start, I've always said that becoming a councillor does not automatically give you respect. You have to earn that by your actions. Councillor Allen has never earned or justified that respect. The council is a numbers game, and the past leader and deputy leader were prepared to let some of the group, me included, disappear into the shadows as they had a strong majority. In the 2 years plus under Councillor Goodfellow, I never once had a conversation with him and Councillor Allen, only started to acknowledge me just before the Tandil vote when he realised the numbers were close. At one particular contentious planning meeting not long ago, Councillor Allen chose to walk away from myself and officers rather than make eye contact or conversation. This was witnessed by officers and my wife, who was in the vehicle. Not the actions I would expect from a leader of this council. He has continuously manipulated and masquerades the rules and constitution to ensure that those around him were supportive of his ambitions to get on, leaving many loyal, hard-working councillors humiliated and discarded by his actions. My final straw was Burton Town Deal. Of course he wanted the money for the town. It would be stupid not to. However, as a group and a council, we were bullied into believing we had the support, the full package. If we didn't support the full package, that investment would be lost forever. This was untrue. Almost immediately, the MP claimed the money was secured. Nobody lobbied me directly over the library move, as like many making this monumental decision, I would have been your toxeter. But what made me vote against that deal was seeing Conservative councillors, Councillor Becky Brady, Jackie Jones, Beryl Toon and Colin Wildman, prepared to risk their futures for the benefit of democracy and the people they represent. So 5 Conservatives voted against that group, the group whip. If there had any moral values, we should have all been rejected by now. Surprise, surprise. They'd done their sums. They needed the numbers.
I think I did make it quite clear about what I expected from speeches in this chamber. And I really would be grateful if you would stop now and please sit down.
I'm still sticking to the subject. Madam Mayor, this is my reason for the vote.
You're not using language which I think is appropriate, so I'd be very grateful if you'd sit down, please.
Can I just have the finishing line, please?
What?
Just to say that I cannot serve in any group under the leadership of Councillor Allen as long as I believe in democracy and have a memory.
Thank you. Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you, Mayor. The guiding principles for me when choosing anybody for a role is suitability and capability. I always say, is this person suitable for the post? Are they capable of performing the post? In 2019, I voted for Councillor Goodfellow to be leader of this council. That was based on I considered him to be entirely suitable for the role. I have to admit, when it came to capability, there was some perhaps issues there. I took a leap of faith because he hadn't been a cabinet member, but what I did judge him on was the fact that he was a businessman, and I thought if he's successful at business, then he should be good for running this council. However, the same can't be said of Councillor Allen. because for the past 3 years I've witnessed him as deputy leader, a cabinet member and de facto leader for the past few weeks. And quite frankly, the way he's handled the regeneration in Uttoxeter and all sorts of manner of things, this town deals board, it doesn't actually inspire me with confidence. In an interview he gave to the Time and Echo last year, he referenced a school report, and he said that the school report said I had very few prospects and was quite likely to end up in prison. Well, that reminded me of a great Greek philosopher and a quote that he said, give me a child until he is seven and I will show you the man. What has disappointed me massively is that when the town's billboard was defeated, he didn't come to our group, he didn't come to the IAG group for any consultation whatsoever. He explicitly excused us from that. And that is not right. How can you have a leader that does that? Clearly a good leader seeks to get everyone involved, everyone on board with his ideas. And Councillor Allen doesn't do that. He alienates people and he belittles people. Personal qualities I look for are integrity. The overall responsibility for the vision and the leader has the overall responsibility for the vision and corporate objectives of this council. Whoever the leader is directly affects the people I represent, and I've got no faith in Councillor Allen. Particularly when it comes to providing community leadership. I've got to vote with my principles and my conscience, and I don't consider Councillor Allen to be either suitable or capable of being the leader of this council.
Thank you. Councillor Hall.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's very rare that I agree with Councillor Florence Hughes, but I'm afraid on this occasion I am going to have to agree. On a matter of conscience, I will not be able to support Councillor Allen as leader of the council. There are many reasons for this, but going back a number of years and the unrecent events mean that I don't believe that he is a good person to be a leader of the council. When he was first elected in 2015, he immediately asked me to support him in changing the regime and getting rid of the leader before anything else. When I asked him why he felt that was necessary and what were his reasons, he had none. It was just power grabbing. He spent the next 4 years putting lots of effort into the party to ensure that long-standing, loyal and very good councillors were not reselected. Not only not reselected, but not even considered fit to be to be allowed to put themselves forward as candidates. They were good people, and they'd done nothing wrong other than stand in the way of somebody who had greater ambitions. In 2019, well, up until 2019, Councillor Allen put no effort into supporting this council or the electorate of East Staffordshire. His only effort was in progressing himself as a politician. I've no doubt that Councillor Allen is very hard working. I've no doubt that he will be a diligent leader, and he may even turn out to be a good leader of this council, but I cannot support him as a matter of conscience.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I thought we were going to move without votes. Without speaking, I obviously appreciate that some councillors do want to speak. You'll know I've been around for nearly 32 years, my two colleagues here 35 years each, and this item has come before this council at least every 4 years, sometimes more times within that period, and I've never heard debate like this before. I just wanted to make my position clear. It may not be the case for all of my group, because we don't have a group whip on this, item before us. But I believe, I firmly believe, and have always believed, that the majority group have the right to choose their leader. And so when it comes to the vote on this, I won't be voting against it. I will just stay out of it and abstain. And I think many of my colleagues will support me. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Grosvenor.
Yeah, thank you. Just a point of clarification for Councillor Fitzpatrick there. Nobody's disputing the majority group can select their leader. What we're here to this evening is to vote for leader of the council. I'm grateful to Councillors Hall and Councillors Whittaker for the comments they've made this evening, very brave comments that they've put forward to go against, obviously, a group whip, to vote against Councillor Allen this evening as leader. I don't think they're on their own in their group. I think there's a lot more people in the group than they perhaps realise are against Councillor Allen. I had a conversation with Councillor Sankey last year, who said to me, if George thinks he can believe, I'll put my name forward. And Councillor Barker, who said to me, I'm only going on Cabinet to stop George. So I don't think they're on their own this evening in terms of voting against Councillor Allen. I can't vote for Councillor Allen, it's no surprise to him. I don't think anybody that's got the standards twice, that have been found guilty twice, brought the council into disrepute. The investigator said their honesty was in question, that they weren't open and transparent. I don't think anybody in that position should be leader of the council. I know there were some issues with Councillor Allen when he was on Cabinet about him using planning delivery as part of his email signature, and that was a concern for some in the council. How can somebody be in charge of the council if they can't put planning delivery on their email, and then to run away from finance to give it to somebody else? I don't dispute why he's done that. I mean, he came to me before the last election and said, let's put in our manifesto that we're going to freeze council tax, and then after the election, when we've won, let's increase it. You can't do that. You can't come forward with those principles and be leader of the council. I know that some Conservatives will have to vote the way their group have told them to tonight. Perhaps some will do it because they believe if they don't, they won't get anything. But I would suggest, from a principle point of view, tonight you should put principles over party and don't vote for Councillor Allen. He was not the right person to be leader of this council, absolutely isn't. And I believe if he is, the council will be in a heap of trouble, perhaps more than it is already. So I won't be voting for Councillor Allen tonight. I had feared it would come in this term of council before the next election, and so it's happened. I'm surprised that Councillor Goodfellow has proposed Councillor Allen. Actually, I believe he had some reservations himself recently. But to propose him this evening, I'm surprised about that. Councillor Goodfellow is shaking his head, but I do believe he spoke to one county councillor about his reservations recently. So I am not voting for Councillor Allen this evening. I'm grateful for Councillor Hall and Councillor Whittaker, Councillor Florence Jukes. I know there are many Conservatives that probably share that view. They probably won't support it in a vote, but that's the reason why I'm not voting for George Allen this evening.
Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Before I say anything, I would like to associate myself with the proposed leader of the council about the Ukraine issue, and I totally echo what you were saying, and it is our duty to support those who are in need. And Madam Mayor, as you know, every war are evils, and all the victims of the war deserve our support. On this occasion, I support his assertions as well. Madam Mayor, I was very grateful for your announcement at the beginning of the meeting, and I will not go through any character assassinations against my fellow councillors. However, there are so many limitations, and I will be kidding my own conscience if I vote for these motions. So unfortunately, I will not vote for this proposal, but there is no personal or anything at all, and it's nothing but, I need nothing but the very best for our council. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Grosvenor, I do actually agree with one of your points you make, actually, that you should vote with your for principle and what you believe in. And I am new councillor to this authority, since I've been here, Councillor Allen has grown in stature over that time, learning under Councillor Goodfellow, and I believe he is the right candidate in this chamber for this role. So I support Councillor Allen because he is the best candidate and cares passionately and has fought for this council. and this town significantly over the last time, despite a lot of abuse that he's had to put up with. So I do support him, and I will support this motion. Thank you.
Councillor Barker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I'd like to straighten up one or two things as well. No way did I say I wanted to stop Councillor Allen being leader. I think Councillor Allen has grown into the job over the time. Yes, he went to standards twice, and he's learnt his lesson from it. The amount of work that he's put in for this council has been tremendous, and I'm sure that he'll continue to put that work in. I was totally frustrated during my first 4 years on the council because the leader at the time had no further ambition apart from keeping down council tax. So once we got rid of that, I thought we were away. It appears that he seems still to be trying to prevent us from going ahead. But I'm going to back Councillor Allen tonight, and I'm going to support him. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. We'll now go to the vote. Would you like to begin, Martin Officer, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, I'm going to read out your names in alphabetical order, and if you could let me know if you're for, against, or abstaining, I'd be very grateful. Councillor Aykroyd.
For.
Councillor Allen. Councillor Ashcroft.
For.
Councillor Barker.
For.
Councillor Beach.
For.
Councillor Brady.
For.
Councillor Bulliff. Built.
Got it, sir.
Built. Apologies.
Calm, you're all right. You're not the only one who has problems. Abstain. I was going to say abscond then.
I do apologise. Thank you very much. Councillor Chowdhury.
Abstain.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
For.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Abstain.
Councillor Fletcher.
Abstain.
Councillor Florence Dukes. Councillor Gaskin.
For.
Councillor Goodfellow.
For.
Councillor Gould. Councillor Grosvenor?
Vehemently against.
Councillor Hadley?
Against.
Councillor Hall?
Against.
Councillor Helen Hall?
Abstain.
Councillor Hussain?
Against.
Councillor Killeran?
For.
Councillor Lamb?
Against.
Councillor Legg?
Abstain.
Councillor Locke.
For.
Councillor McGarry.
Definitely for.
Councillor McKiernan.
Abstain.
Councillor Metcalf.
For.
Councillor Peters.
For.
Councillor Sankey.
For.
Councillor Shrive.
Against.
Councillor Sylvester.
For.
Councillor Toon.
Against.
Councillor Walker.
Against.
Councillor Paul Walker.
No bad language against.
Councillor Whittaker.
Against.
And finally, Councillor Wildman.
For.
Which ratify the votes.
The votes are 19 for, 11 against, and 7 abstentions, so the motion is carried. We move on to item 7. Cabinet role descriptions. In accordance with section 6.4 of part 2 of the Constitution, I invite the new leader of the council to speak on this item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So, as it is set out in the report, we've decided to move the Treasury Management and Finance portfolio to Councillor Sankey. He supported Councillor Goodfellow in this quite a lot whilst he was a Cabinet support member, so it's right that he takes over that portfolio at the moment. It was a sudden resignation, it wasn't a planned one, certainly not. And so I thought the best thing to do was to try and aim for continuity as much as possible. I understand that the finance portfolio, it's not the first time it's been split out from the leader of the council, and certainly no hard and fast rules about it. So I don't intend to say much more than that, Madam Mayor, other than to note what's in the enclosure too.
Okay. Would anybody, council, like to speak on this item? So this item is to be noted. Thank you. Move on to item 8, motion on notice. This is the motion which has been deferred from the previous meeting as the motion was not deemed to be urgent. Please note that a short paper providing background information has been provided by officers on this matter and can be found at enclosure number 3. I invite Councillor Florence Jukes to propose the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not actually going to move that motion. I'm going to alter it in a line with Constitution Part 3A 1631. My motion now reads that in response to the tragic circumstances surrounding the death by suicide of Mrs. Angela Winter in June of 2021, this Council calls for an urgent scrutiny review by the Community Regeneration, Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee to establish if the current policies and practices involved in delivering a service to rough sleepers are the best they can be, and based on the committee's findings, make any necessary recommendations to the Executive for ways to improve the service.
Would you like to bring it forward, Councillor? Can I have a seconder for this, please? So this is to second the original motion. So what I'm doing is taking a seconder for the original motion, Councillor Grove, and I'm putting you down for that, if that's all right. And then saying that because we've got an amendment, which Councillor Florence Hughes has also proposed, then I need a seconder for that amendment.
No, it's not an amendment. It's under 1631, the one I quoted, it's actually an alter to alter the motion.
Right, so thank you, Councillor, you're quite right, and what will happen is you have proposed now the altered motion, and Councillor Grosvenor has seconded the altered motion, so thank you for that, okay? Do you wish to speak on the motion?
Yes, please, Mayor. Regarding...
Do you like me to read it out? So, that in response to the tragic circumstances surrounding the death by suicide of Mrs. Angela Winter in June of 2021, the Council calls for an urgent scrutiny review by the Community Regeneration, Environment and Health and Wellbeing Committee to establish if the current policies and practices involved in delivering a service to rough sleepers are the best they can be, and based on the committee's findings, make any necessary recommendations to the Executive for ways to improve the service. Are you adding this, Councillor, to what we've already got written down here, or is it replacing the last paragraph of your original motion?
So my original motion is no longer, and this is an altered motion.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So carry on, please.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm grateful, as I'm sure many members are, to Brett Atkinson for compiling the answers or the report at Enclosure 3. It is a good starting point, but in many ways it raises as many questions as it seeks to answer. For instance, the opening line regarding coroner's report, there does not appear to be any publicly available official record from the coroner. There actually is. That's a matter of public document, and it is available. All that has to be done is the coroner has to be written to and a copy obtained. What concerns me about some of the answers given in Enclosure 3 is the frequency of the outreach sweeps. They're only conducted every 2 weeks, so there's a real chance that people that are sleeping rough can be missed from that sweep. So a review would pick that up. Also, routes for the sweeps may need revising. If you refer to the June 22nd email, where there was a search conducted for two potential rough sleepers in the Branston area, the email came back with that there was no trace of the two individuals, but said they would add it to the outreach for the next month. There was actually an outreach the following week on the 29th, so there's clearly an opportunity there to have added that to the sweep for the 29th. What scrutiny will offer is a chance for different agencies that are involved in the outreach, i.e. YMCA, Open Spaces, and the like, to actually contribute to the review. But also, there's comms as well. When you look on our website as to what can be done for rough sleepers, it's not immediately available or accessible as to what can be done. You have to click on the homes bit, and then it leads you to further options. But I would ask, what rough sleeper has access to the internet? Generally, they're not going to. They're certainly not going to have anywhere to plug a mobile phone. So I think the comms aspect perhaps needs looking at in terms of posters and so on in areas where there are high incidents of rough sleeping. What a scrutiny would hopefully pick up or recommend is that we look at the frequency of the outreach, we look at the routes that are being conducted, we look at who is involved. For instance, in the report regarding open spaces, it says the open spaces team do not systematically record contact with rough sleepers. Well, perhaps that needs changing. They are the eyes and the ears on the ground of what's happening in these spaces. Also civil enforcement as well. In terms of litter picks and so on, there's opportunities there to pick up on rough sleepers. But perhaps the biggest opportunity is to speak to Mr. Winter himself. There was mention in the report that they believed he was using food parcels. He actually wasn't. It was the soup kitchen he was using. I know Bert and Hope are in regular dialogue with Mr. Winter, so perhaps they could act as an intermediary to get more information from him as to what happened. What we want essentially is that our service is the best, that it's fit for purpose, and that we avoid this situation again if we can. So to have a scrutiny review that would look at that urgently would be of great benefit to us as a service provider. Thank you.
Councillor Grosvenor, do you wish to speak now or reserve your right? Well, now I'd like to ask the council if they'd like to debate and who'd like to contribute to this debate. Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To be perfectly honest, I was going to actually suggest an amendment myself to Councillor Florence Duke's original proposal, but she actually covered it with her amendment, so I don't need to do that. But what I will do is actually identify the kind of things that we're doing as a council, and I agree entirely that we do need to have a scrutiny review of this and make sure that we do get the best service that we can actually deliver. We've all seen Brett Atkinson's report, I'm confident that we've done all we can, but it doesn't hurt to have a scrutiny review to actually bear that out. We do mitigate against all this kind of event occurring, and as Councillor Florence Jukes has identified, we do a rough sweeper count every 2 weeks. We do a rough sweeper count between the 1st of October and the end of November that is government sanctioned and government approved and assessed. And I'd like to tell all the members tonight here that in the West Midlands there are only two local government authorities who actually do an actual count. The rest do an estimate, and that's based on their volunteer searches, and they go on their numbers. We actually conduct a sweep ourselves, and since 2019 I have been going out with that sweep, and I know just how thorough it is. The people who conduct the sweep are actually ex-rough sleepers themselves. They know precisely the locations where people are going to go, and they predict precisely where they're going to be. In 2019, they told me we would find five. We found five. They knew exactly where they would be. In 2020, we had the pandemic, and they told me there would be zero. We covered everywhere. We only found a herd of cows that night outside the library. These guys know exactly what they're doing. Last year, another two members joined me, Councillor Allen and Councillor Metcalfe, and I'm sure they will agree that those searches were extremely methodical and thorough. Anyone who wants to remain undiscovered will remain undiscovered. We can't stop them doing their very best to actually hide themselves, but we do our very best to find them. You will find in our MTFS on page 53 that we've now made a permanent position in our West Sleeper initiative, recognising the government may actually reduce some of the funding for this. This is how important I feel this is for us. I believe this inquiry is necessary, as I've said, but in response to Councillor Florence Duke's question in terms of where do we go to, on the desk in front of Mark Risk and Sal Khan, there is a box, and there are leaflets there which were first introduced in 2020. I've had them refreshed, and they are there for members to take. There are a bunch of about nine. There are plenty there for each member to take one. It tells you exactly what the service is, who is providing the service, who to contact, particularly in terms of rough sleepers. So it's there for you if you need it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to speak? Councillor Metcalfe?
Yes, I'd just like to support what Councillor Faulkner was saying. I've been on that rough sleeper sweep. I've found parts of Burton that I didn't know about before. It is very thorough. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Walker.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I will behave myself and refrain from any misbehaving. I actually welcomed the amendment. I would have supported the original motion, because what happened on the Washlands was a tragedy. But the only thing that was sort of making me think otherwise is the fact that it only talks about the YMCA housing options and open spaces. We have all the voluntary services that do outreach services across town, so I would like to think all those would have been brought in. So by bringing it to scrutiny under the professional chairmanship of Councillor Wildman, that we now will be able to bring all those bodies in and have a look at this properly.
Thank you. Councillor Hussain.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also share my sympathy for the tragic incidents that Councillor Florence Duke shared with us, and would like to welcome any sort of proposal or any scheme on any strategy, regardless of our party politics or anything. They are our citizens, and we are the custodian of their rights, not only their money. So any sort of strategy or any way forward, I will welcome this one. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. I can't see anybody else wishing to speak. Councillor Grosvenor, do you wish to speak now?
I think people have covered everything I was going to say. I'd just like to pick up Councillor Faulkner on one aspect, though. He made a point to say, I think we've done all we can, and I think scrutiny will bear that out. I would just like to say, I wouldn't want to hamstring scrutiny, actually, and whether scrutiny bears that out or not is for scrutiny to decide. There has been an error, there has been a fall down and a mistake, a serious mistake, which has led to this, and scrutiny to find out where that is and to make improvement suggestions to make sure it doesn't happen again, and that needs to be done urgently. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say with all we can, and scrutiny will bear that out. I think that's for scrutiny to decide. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Florence Jukes, would you like to make your final comment?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I'm very grateful for the support this amendment or alteration has received in the Chamber tonight. Clearly, what the objective is to look at the service we provide and see if there's any way that we can improve it. This really was a tragic incident of a couple that clearly weren't capable or able or fit to be rough sleepers. They're not what we would call typical rough sleepers. They've been in employment. They've been in stable housing. They just fell on really hard times and clearly were out of the depth in what to do. They weren't capable either physically or mentally with rough sleeping. Just to pick up on what Councillor Faulkner says, I'm not suggesting that there's a shortage of what members need to do in terms of signposting rough sleepers. We know that, and I'm grateful for the information that's out there. It was more to do with people that are sleeping rough. For instance, the winters, perhaps they could have done with, a notice board or something on washlands, just directing people that haven't got access to the internet to know where to go. That was just the point I was trying to make with the comms. But I'm grateful for what everybody said, and I hope that people will support that this goes to scrutiny. Thank you.
Okay. Right, so we'll now move to the vote. Would you please show if you are in favour of Councillor Florence Duke's motion? Motion is carried. Move on to item 9 on the agenda, Burton upon Trent Townsend programme. I invite the Leader of the Council to present this item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So here we are again, a long 21 days later, with a slightly amended and revised Towns Fund programme. I don't tend to dwell on it too much. I'd spent 10 minutes speaking 21 days ago, Madam Mayor, but I will just run through, for the benefit of members, what the changes have been between Plan A and Plan B, as it's been dubbed. So, as the council voted to reject the Plan A, I wanted to try and find a consensus amongst as many council members as possible. I reached out to the opposition in that as well, had a very detailed discussions with my own group, and we obviously heard what council said, and we've removed the most controversial part, which was the library move to the Market Hall. With that, it has to be recognised that the Market Hall will have to be progressed outside the Towns Fund programme. It isn't possible to use any Towns Fund monies to invest in the Market Hall at this point. I said to my own group that I would want to see investment in the Market Hall at the right time. We need to do more. We need to start again, really. It's back to square one with it, a condition survey and working out how much it's going to cost. And then we also need to do a cross-party working group, as has been announced, where we can work out what viable options there are for the Market Hall. That is more or less bringing it back to square one. It will have to be funded by ESBC. I have every hope that the council will support a project of that like in the coming months when it is ready. In terms of what has changed between Plan A and Plan B, the towpath that members may remember was in three phases, and there was only enough money to cover one phase of it. This Plan B now finds funds for two phases, taking it all the way up to Eaton Park Junior School. And so that was something that many members from all across the chamber wanted to see it all funded, and I would have liked to as well. There is only a finite amount of money though, so we've managed to fund two sections of it. A visitor centre, visitor wildlife education centre was also something that many members wanted to see come forward. We have done, as part of Project D, there's been a feasibility study or an assessment of whether or not something like that is needed, and it certainly is. Staffordshire Wildlife are very keen to help us progress and develop that. At the same time, since the market hall isn't now closing, and perhaps we could see a food hall or just the market hall as it is now done better, there isn't so much a need now for a food hall or food venue on Project D. So we've removed that part, and that is where the visitor centre is going to be sited. It also quite coincidental that the staircase was something that many members thought was a bit unsightly. I must say I wasn't entirely sure about it myself, but since the visitor centre has been moved next to the is going to now be placed next to the water tower, it's entirely possible, we are working towards putting a staircase on the inside of the visitor centre, what will become the visitor centre, so you can access the second level. There is a lot of switchgear that powers the town centre in the basement of the tower. It's not possible. It costs a lot of money to get that moved out. So we need a way of getting up to that second level, and then the water tower can be used for the viewing platform. It was something that Staffordshire Wildlife were very keen on doing, apart from the novelty, I guess, of being able to access the water tower and have that perspective on Burton Town Centre, that Staffordshire Wildlife were really keen to be able to show people what the Washlands does in flood. It sounds simple to many of us, but being able to view it in flood or in summer, you can really see the extent of it when you get that high up. So that is something that they have always been very keen to see. So that has also been funded through Plan B. Another aspect that members were keen to see was a library, investment in the library. We now, as a result of the vote on the 28th, the County Council are intending to remain in the library building where they are, and we want to help them make the most of that library building. They'll be making investments on the inside, but they had no investment on the outside. So we have found a sum of money to invest on the outside, the cladding, and there is a scheme also improve the canopy that overlooks the Washlands. Obviously, all of these things mean that we'll have to recycle funds from Project E, and that will need to happen, and that is what's been proposed as part of this plan, and that's what the Towns Fund, Town Deal Board were quite keen to do as well. We met them only 3 or 4 days after the 28th. So about £250,000 was allocated provisionally for the cost that the County Council have already made in surveying their original project to move the library into the market hall. I am reliably informed that it is far lower than that. Those changes will need to be confirmed, and we can take account of that by the sum that's left over will go into the rest of Project D. £750,000 will go into realising phase two of the towpath, and the remaining £7 million, plus the extra that we've got to confirm with the county about exorbitant costs, will go into Project D, alongside Project F funds that had already been funded, recycled, sorry. So those, the only other slight change to Project D, members will remember the original report had phase two element in there. That was always indicative. It was not costed. It was estimated, but it wasn't. We didn't have the funds for it. We envisaged it might come as part of a levelling up two range of projects which is yet to be announced, although we've been given a good indication how much it will be. So that phase two has come out, is there for purpose, so members can see where we go with after phase one and what comes after it. That's been pulled out. The most important part that I saw in that was the museum heritage centre that would be sited in the townhouse on High Street. That's been moved into phase one, so that now gets realised in the next 5 years as well. I don't think there's anything else, any other changes there, Madam Mayor. I'm happy to move the recommendations and take questions on any of the programme.
Thank you, Councillor Arnn. Could I have a seconder for this, please? Councillor Clark. Thank you. Any councillors who'd like to speak on this item? Councillor Hussain?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, I would like to share my gratitude to one of my constituents in this time of the night. She came in to observe this meeting as well, Madam Mayor. She is one of the great granddaughter of one of your predecessors, former Mayor Jerry Jones, and also the great granddaughter of former Mayor Harry Jones. She is observing us, and I really would like to pass my tribute for the past few months, her enormous support and encouragement to save our library and save our market campaign. I'm really grateful for her presence as well. At the same token, I would like to pass my tribute to these members from party opposite, especially Councillor Wildman, Councillor Jackie Jones, Councillor Whitaker, Councillor Beryl Toon, and all members who has come across and stood up for our town regardless of their party political allegiance, and they put their party politics aside and stood up for our town and defied their whips, which is a very bold and which is really exemplary. Madam Mayor, I really, really support this library U-turn, and it could be a new dawn for our town. I would like to, yes, I haven't voted for the leader, but still I would like to wish him the very best for the sake of our town. We might not agree with anything, but we might have so much disagreement. It doesn't mean that we cannot criticize you in a constructive manner. Madam Mayor, as you know, Harold Lasky once said, government meant to be criticized. And if we don't criticize you, and if we don't scrutinize you, it doesn't mean that as an opposition we are not doing a good job. And also, Madam Mayor, at the same token, I would like to be a bit hopeful to see more investment in the market hall, Madam Mayor. But unfortunately, I cannot see any single dime coming from this to the market hall yet. Why market hall is important, Madam Mayor? It will necessarily support the businesses. The businesses give you job security, they generate income tax, and also they do the VAT, and these are the lifeblood for the all good causes, including the NHS and everything we do. We need a strong economy, and business can generate these things. So, Madam Mayor, I would still urge the controlling group and the new leader of the council to look into the matter that we need the support for our market. And end of the day, Madam Mayor, this is a market town. We got a proud history of vibrant market. So I would like to seek the attention of the leader of the councils. And otherwise, I don't want the residents of our town think that this council is not working for the workers. Rather, they are working against the workers, because these are the places in the market, and the new businesses will necessarily generate lot of jobs and opportunities for the future recruitment as well. Madam Mayor, I would like to see this fund is being used for regenerations, not just for mere purpose of relocations. On the same token, the leader of the council mentioned £1 million investment commitment from the county council, just for inside. Why inside? This is their building. I want them to use this money inside and outside, everywhere. This £1 million plus £250,000 a year proposed, £1,250,000, I can assure Madam Mayor, this will secure the future of our library for the succeeding generations as well. So I'm not saying that I will vote against this proposal, but I would like to be hopeful and would like to see some light of the end of the tunnel, Madam Mayor. Hopefully he will come up with some good solutions and good proposals. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you, Mayor. I have to say that when the funding was first announced, I thought it would be the most fantastic opportunity to really regenerate Burton and put us back on the map and seize the opportunity for the funding and really turn the town around. I have to say at the member briefing we had a couple of years ago when the initial projects, 12 of them, were brought forward, I was completely underwhelmed by what was being proposed. Having said that, we're now down to 4 of those projects out of the original lot. In terms of the towpath extension, I very much welcome that because that will now give the residents of Horninglow the opportunity when they get to Horninglow Basin to either go right or left on the towpath to either towards Shovnell or towards Stretton. So I'm very grateful for that. My only concern with that is the potential for antisocial behaviour, particularly when you widen an area that's big enough to get motorbikes and monkey bikes down. I think there is the potential there for antisocial behaviour, but time will tell on that. But on that particular project, I'm welcome that it now encompasses Horninglow. In terms of the college course, whilst I don't think that particularly fits in with the regeneration money per se, I am absolutely wholly supportive of this. Education is the foundation for our young people. It's the building blocks. So anything that can give them a leg up, I'm absolutely all for, so I'm totally in favour of that. In terms of the cycle routes, had that come as a separate project, I would have voted that down. I just can't see the point in trying to install cycle paths in, for instance, Waterloo Street. It's problematic enough with traffic that double parks and so on, so it's going to be really interesting to see how a cycle path is going to be kept clear. Who's going to enforce that? I don't know. And also the amendments to the what I'm really excited about is Project D, because I think that is going to be absolutely fantastic for our town. And I've been on my feet for the past 5 years calling for regeneration of that particular area, so I'm absolutely thrilled that that is finally coming. So that gets my wholehearted support. In terms of highway code, that's what I was thinking of, sorry. In terms of the external library facade, I would really, really hope that due consideration would be given to a living wall across that big expansive space. Because if we had a living wall, that would fit in directly with our environmental plans and our biodiversity plans. So I think that should be given lots of consideration. Also, perhaps consider putting a glass veranda on the whole of that front area of the library, because that would really transform that and enable a 24/7 space that could be heated and so on. So this will be getting my vote tonight. I'm pleased that the original Towns Fund programme was defeated a few weeks ago, because that clearly was what people wanted. They didn't want the library moved into the market hall. They didn't want the loss of the market hall. So now it's been revised, this will get my full support. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The conversation tonight seems to be getting a lot better, and it seems to be more supportive, and I'm pleased about that. At the last council meeting, I think before that actually, at scrutiny, we could see the opposition to the programme as it was at that time. I think I said at scrutiny that
a visitor centre should be right next to that tower, the perfect place for it, place for a food hall in our market hall, and the place for the library exactly where it is, in a brilliant location. I'm grateful that council on the 28th the minority opposition group and five councillors that have already had the respect of other members, I appreciate what you did that night. What you did is, I believe, just helped save this funding. I've never liked the idea of the library part being in there. I'm glad it's gone. I am a big supporter, like Councillor Florence Jukes, a very big supporter of Project D. It's exciting, it's ambitious, and now, with the revisions, a massive chunk of it is deliverable in the very medium term, and that is going to impress me. I like a visitor centre there. I like the townhouse being a heritage centre within the next 5 years. I like the improvements to the library. I like that big open centre and a water tower that can be viewed. The houses come in there in sensible proportion as soon as possible. It's a very exciting project, which I think in the future, we're not a tourist town, but I think it'll bring visitors. I think you will see visitors coming to this town in the near future. So I'm pleased about that. I'm grateful to the leader of the council for asking us to get involved following that defeat in the council chamber. Pleased about that. I know he got involved with his own group as well. And those deliberations have delivered exactly what's in this revised plan. And I definitely support it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Anybody else like to speak? Councillor Grosvenor?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. When these original proposals were made last year, before last year, I was highly critical of the 12 projects that came forward and critical publicly. And the reasons for that are well documented. Then there was a submission of 8, and we had one-to-one meetings, various groups, and I had a specific one-to-one meeting at the Pradley Stadium with the Chief Executive, Ben Robinson, and others. And that one-to-one lasted good over 3 hours, actually. And I was critical of each project then. And the question to me was, well, what would you do, or what would you have done with the funding, Richard? How would you put a project together which regenerated Burton through the funding? And my answer was, I looked at one project for one specific area, actually, around the Bargates area, around the Washlands area, and you would therefore expect me to be in support of these proposals which come forward, which show the majority of it going towards Project D. However, and there is a however, this report was presented to us with 0 clear working days to review. There's been no scrutiny. There's been no question apart from tonight's meeting, and there's been no public consultation. It plays into a great problem, I believe, we've got, which is why I've raised the motion at the council this evening, that members of the public aren't being listened to and don't believe they have been listened to. I have specifically asked members of the public, you tell me which way you want to vote on this, and I'll vote the way you want me to vote. And they've been pretty clear that they would like me to vote against this evening, and I will be doing that on behalf of the public of Burton-upon-Trent. I think there are some specific issues with the proposals that we've had this evening. I do think there is a phase 2 to Project D. Councillor Allen said it's been withdrawn. There is a phase 2. Nobody knows how that's going to be funded. There's no funding on the table for phase 2. The library funding for the outside, or the cladding of the library, which is coming through this proposal, we've been told that we can't make a specific proposal for the market hall because there was no original project for the market hall. There was no original project to put cladding on the library building. But that money's been found through this deal. So why can't we find money for the market hall to do regeneration of the market hall? Members of the council have been told, we've listened. Members of the public didn't want the library going into the market hall, and we've agreed to that. Yeah, but I think that doesn't take the whole point of what members of the public, why they expressed their concerns about this original proposal. Sure, they didn't want the library to go into the market hall, That doesn't mean that they didn't want any regeneration of the market hall. They wanted a project to come forward to help to regenerate the market hall. Nothing's come forward. Nothing's come forward as part of the town deal plan to regenerate the market hall. And just to wrap it up as, well, public didn't want a library, away we go, they didn't. But they wanted the market hall to be made the most of, and there's nothing come forward. In fact, in the corporate plan, there's a proposal to do a review of the market hall, which will come forward in 12 months' time. That's not what the public want. They want an urgent review of the market hall to do some work to it. If we proceed on that basis, nothing will have happened in the market hall for 6 years, effectively, from the start of 2019. So there's a project for the library, there's no project for the market hall. Phase two is not funded. As I've said, there's zero clear working days for us to review this, and no public consultation. And we've gone from 12 projects down to 8, government have approved 7, one's been delayed, and 2 has been withdrawn. So now we're at 4 projects. And we were told all 8 projects have come together and are going to be interlinked to regenerate Burton. All 8 projects, they're all vital. It's vital that we do all these 8 projects. And now we've got 4. One of which is the cycle route, which is telling us there's going to be £134,000 saved from absences if we put a cycle route in the plan that we've suggested. That equates to 2,061 working days, which we believe are going to be saved if we put a cycle route in. So where are the 2,061 days absence currently, based on an average salary of £24,000 a year, that is? £134,000. Where's the scrutiny behind that figure? Where's the scrutiny to tell us that that's going to be saved? There isn't none. It's a minor point to the cycle route, but it just shows you that nothing's been looked at the detail of these projects. So you would think I'd be more supportive. I'm not, because there's no scrutiny, the public haven't been consulted, and quite frankly, I don't see how these 3 projects, plus the Washlands one, come together to regenerate Burton. A towpath, which is going to effectively tarmac the towpath, and Councillor Faulkner suggested he's looking forward to walking into work along the towpath. Who's going to manage the ASB, which is increased on the towpath? A cycle route, which we've been told will save £134,000, which clearly don't see it will. A college course, when they already offer 18 courses for the same subject that they say they want to introduce now. 18 courses are already on offer from the college for the same subject that they say the money that we're going to give them, the £3 million, is going to provide. Don't see that regenerates Burton. The Washlands area, potentially, doesn't go far enough, and there's no concrete funding for phase two. Based on all of that, the public have told me, vote against. And that's the way I'm voting this evening.
Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Can I just explain to you that the legislation provides in special circumstances that we can take this as an item. And given the proximity to the submission date for this project being March the 24th, that is the reason for its being brought forward. And as I say, it complies with the legislation, just to correct you on that point.
There's nothing to correct, Madam Mayor. I didn't suggest anything about legislation. Well, I said we had 0 working days, and
yes,
that's accurate.
And I'm just informing you this is legislation. Okay, Councillor Lamb, I think you had your name up, your hand up.
Yeah, all I was going to say was that basically I think we've come forward with a better solution than we had 3 weeks ago, and we've got a solution which is closer to, I think, what the public want. They didn't want to lose a market hall and level down this town, so I think that the fact that has gone is a positive. I welcome the extension of the canal path, although I'm slightly disappointed that the most muddiest part of the canal, which is in Stratton, is not going to see any improvement yet, and I hope for some funding for some levelling up of the Stratton footpath by the canal, because obviously there are going to be tourist benefits, health benefits and economic benefits. And I also welcome the fact that there's no firm commitments yet to phase two, because I think some of the ideas in phase two, like external sports areas, I'm not really sure we really want that next to the Washlands, if we want to exploit that area as a beauty area. So I think some of those things should be considered in terms of it perhaps better to put some of those external sporting facilities further away from the town centre and perhaps spread around the borough. But I think overall, I think we've got a better solution, and it's a solution that I definitely can support.
Thank you, Councillor. Anybody else? Councillor Anke.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Like a number of colleagues, I support this proposal. I think, commenting with Councillor Fitzpatrick, has, we've had a civilised debate tonight, and I think actually the quality is a lot better, and I appreciate everyone's comments on this. I'd just like to pick up on the market hall, and I just think we shouldn't forget that we have actually committed to supporting and developing the market hall, but until the review has been done, it's difficult to actually put a price on that. And I think it's difficult, and picking up Councillor Grosvenor's comments of how do you justify X, Y and Z on terms of and proper scrutiny, I think coming up with a number that we put in any budget to support the market hall at this stage, when we do not know how much it is not quite the right way to go forward. So I think we've got a good balanced approach here, cross-party discussion. I think it's a very positive way forward for the council, and I support it. Thank you.
Councillor Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. First of all, can I thank the officers for putting this document together, which, by the way, I haven't seen, actually, but it did come through my door very late Friday, and I realise legislation does say that we can have it here tonight, but the timing of it has not allowed me to view it, scrutinise it, read it. But that is not a criticism before you pull me up like Councillor Grosvenor here. Shall we, just to come back to Councillor Sankey's point over there about the debate's been a lot better tonight. Well, the debate's a lot better tonight because it's going your way. 2-3 weeks ago, you weren't getting your way, that's why you weren't happy. Just a question for the newly elected leader. I'd be fascinated picking up on Councillor Grosvenor's point of the £134,000 worth of absences it's going to show the new cycle routes. I'd just be but fascinated to know where that figure's come from. But, as I say, because of the lack of scrutiny that I haven't had personally, it's only come through the door late Friday afternoon. I was out most of the day, Saturday. Sunday was just Sunday, and I've been at work all day today. I haven't had a chance to view it. I know there's still unease within the members of the public, and because these decisions are not just the ones that we're happy with in here, it's what the members of the public are happy with, because we're making decisions on their behalf. That gives me many, many reasons why I could vote against it, but because I don't feel I can vote against it, and I don't feel I can vote for it, then unfortunately I'm going to have to abstain. But it's purely down to that time to view and scrutinise these documents.
Thank you. Councillor Atcroft.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just need to confirm both what Councillor Sankey has said and Councillor Allen. Regarding the market hall, we do need to do a detailed conditional survey. We need to know what issues there are there, and we need to know what needs addressing in that building. There then needs to be a review of finding a sustainable option that's going to actually work in that building. There's going to be a cross-party working group put together, and I'm sure they're going to come up with some fantastic ideas. There needs to be future investment in there, and it will happen from the council. We also need to bear in mind that it's now a listed building, and there could be extra grants that we can tap into there. So I just wanted to clarify that so everybody knows where we were going.
Thank you. Councillor Chowdhury.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I agree that it's been a really good debate this evening, and I think it's a debate occurring in a very kind of calm, settled environment, and I think it's a good thing. And I think what this shows really is the wider consultation, participation, and the collective wisdom ultimately is actually delivers good results, better results for the benefit of the borough and the residents of the borough. And I think it just shows really that as opposition groups, we were never really against the investment in town. That was never the intention from anybody. You know, in the last council meeting or as you heard today, everyone welcomes that. It's just that the proposals that were in front of us, they're just fundamentally not what we wanted. And I think at the end of the day, it's delivered better, as we just heard all round this evening, it's actually delivered better projects going forward. Okay, they're not ideal, from everyone's got their own kind of point of view, and we may as individuals like, you know, certain things within those projects, but overall I think we're heading in the right direction, and I think we welcome this amount of investment in town. And I think some of the miscommunication that was put out is all or nothing. Is you either make a decision now or you lose everything. I think we need to learn from that going forward in future and make sure that we don't use those kind of scaremongering tactics and that do what is the right thing to do. I'm conscious that obviously we're still in the relatively early phases of these projects and there is a lot of details still to be developed as we go forward. So what I would like to hear from the leader is that as these projects evolve and develop and mature, that we would be kept, we as a council and public as well, there will be more consultation as we go along. What I wouldn't want to see is that, you know, we make a decision tonight and then, you know, it's all handed over to the town deal board and then say, okay, you know, this is it, we've got a mandate to do whatever we want to do. I think engagement with the members of the council and the wider public is absolutely important, and the scrutiny going forward as well. I think there's a lot of work that still needs to be done, and I think that kind of consultation, ongoing consultation, would be a good thing. And if we can have some kind of commitment around that, that'd be really useful. The other point I want to make is about the market hall itself. And I think for me, I hear what you've said, Councillor, and for me there are two parts. One part is what we need to do to the building, the actual, you know, restoration, and maintenance or actually refurbing the actual building. And second part is the utilization of that building. And I think we need to separate them. I think we need to make the capital investment to secure the building, and then I think that's a relatively short term commitment, or it ought to be relatively short term commitment. And in terms of utilization, again, what I would urge is, yes, let's do it properly, let's take our time, let's consult, and let's come up with a solution by involving everybody in that process to come up with a more sustainable utilization of that building. So I think that would be, for me, that would be the good way forward. So again, what I would like to say is really, listen, I think I'm grateful for this opportunity. I'm grateful that we are actually, you know, securing this funding. We haven't lost it, but let's keep communicating and working together to for the benefits of the Burton and the residents of the borough. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Fletcher.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have to say that I welcome the changes to the original plan. They're still not perfect, but they're certainly better than they were. I welcome the leader's commitment to both the market hall building and the attempt to enhance the future use of the building and the market, both inside and outside the building. I welcome the fact that there will be a cross-party group to try and make sure that this is done for the best effect, and although, as I've said before, the plan isn't perfect, I can vote for it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Clark, would you like to use your right to speak a seconding motion?
I would, thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. As Chair of Value for Money Scrutiny Committee, I'm pleased to second the motion before us tonight, and I welcome the Town Deal Board's commitment to invest in skills, transportation and our local economy. I think it's also worth at this point just taking a moment to thank the officers, all the projects involved, and in particular Councillor Allen, for all the work that has gone into these projects, not just in getting to this over the past 12, 18 months, but certainly over the past 3 weeks as well, and the tireless actions that has gone into that to ensure that we have proposals before us tonight ahead of the March 24th deadline when they need to go through to government. To just briefly talk upon some of the projects, I think I welcome Project J and Project C when it eventually comes forward as welcome investments into the skills of young people and adults across East Staffordshire. I think this is vital, as particularly as we go into a changing economy, that we're investing in these life skills. Projects G and H will finally see us utilise the great assets of the Trent and Mersey Canal and improve the cycle network at a time when climate change and healthy living are becoming ever more present and pressing issues. And I think it's worth touching upon some of the concerns here raised by several councillors in regards to the towpath and an increase in antisocial behaviour. I don't necessarily think that as a council we should be put off by the actions of a few wrong ones from doing something that is right and proper, and I think the benefits, and particularly the benefits to make the towpath all year round access, but in particular disabled friendly, more than outweigh any uprising and social behaviour that can be worked through. And I'd also like to touch upon Project D. I think personally Project D is the project that I'm most excited about. I think it's a once in a lifetime opportunity that allows us to refocus Burton as a town back to the River Trent, and I think it's a project that will bring the Washlands Visitor Centre, a heritage centre, hopefully in the future through Phase 2, further entertainment and sports options to the town, and I think ultimately encourage upwards of £40 million worth of public and private investment into Burton Town. This is an opportunity that was denied to Burton residents several years ago by the Bargates project, which failed to recognise truly the great asset that the Washlands was and the potential that that could have had in terms of transforming the town. I think the project proposed here by Project D actually surpassed anything that could have come through those, and I think they do better in stitching the current town centre through to the Washlands and refocusing the town, and I welcome them. I also, as somebody who went to university and studied history, I welcome the move to move the Heritage Centre as well into Phase 1 of it, and I think this is going to be a vital thing for the town as well. I think Burton is a town that a lot of people, both internal and external, like to disparage, but I think we've got a great rich history, not just in the brewing industry, but through the Roman roads, through the carriages that used to be made here. I mean, just look around this building itself, there's lots of history within this town that we don't make the most of, so I welcome that. I think to touch upon some other concerns and comments made by councillors tonight, I think it is disappointing that, in my mind, this is a Plan B rather than the original Plan A, which would have secured millions of pounds worth of investment into the Market Hall building and protected that vital asset with what I believe would have been a sustainable use. Obviously, for whatever reasons, that was rejected by this council at a meeting several weeks ago. And I hope now that the enthusiasm and support shown by members within this chamber and also residents outside of this building as well is maintained over the next 12 months as the council goes into its review, not just in finding a working solution to the Market Hall building and a sustainable future, but in also visiting, utilising and sustaining those businesses in there, and that it wasn't just some flash in a pan excitement and actually builds upon that momentum. I think it's also worth touching upon, I think the comment as well about there's two aspects to it. There is the maintenance of the building and there is also finding that sustainable use. I think you would struggle to fully commit to the maintenance of the building other than foundational pieces, because without knowing what the use needs to be, it's difficult to know what that maintenance and investment should be from a monetary perspective. And I think it's only right, given the compressed timescales, in order to protect as much money tonight as possible through the town's deal, that has come as a separate item via council, and I welcome that from the Cabinet. I also think it's worth pointing out for members in regards to the funding that actually by going down plan route Plan B, we have already lost effectively 250k from the aborted Project E. We've also lost some money that could have been invested into the town or utilised better via the aborted bridge project. And I also think it is worth noting that there is every chance now that the government could alter the final business cases. Having reviewed these detailed proposals that have come forward for Plan B, I think that we stand the best chance with what's before us tonight to secure most of that money, and that I think it's from the due diligence of officers and project leaders that those business cases were developed in order to enable us to rapidly expand the towpath and Project D to such a state that we have. But I think it is also worth pointing out that whilst we have lost money, there is potential risk there, whilst I think this is the best option before us. And I think that broadly touches upon everything that was mentioned by... I suppose one more, just in terms of the process as well, it's worth pointing out that given the way that the process in this project came forward, I think it's only right that you start the process at the very beginning with a multitude of projects that over time are stress tested, weeded out, and ultimately refined into what we have before us today. I think Project D in the proposal that's come forward now are greatly enhanced from those that were originally proposed 12, 18 months ago. I think that's only a natural process of the development of business plans and business cases. So I don't necessarily think the fact that we started with 12 projects or so and ended up with 4 or 5 is necessarily a negative or an indictment of the process or the great work that's gone into it. So in conclusion, I think that I'm incredibly pleased to back this and vote for this tonight. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity through Project D to finally refocus Burton Town Centre and the Washlands and make the most use of that asset. And that's why I'll be voting for the commitment not just to young people and skills and improving transport, but refocusing Burton to the River Trent as we once were 1,000 years ago at our founding. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Allen, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you for Councillor Clark for those kind words. He has a habit of stealing all my points and potentially my thunder as well, but I will try and just comment on a few of the points that have raised for clarity, if nothing else. I think the one most frustrating thing that I've found as a lead member on this throughout the last 20 months is that information that is in the public domain has not been read and digested by members. And with that, I will talk about the comments made around the university and education. That is a key part of the prospectus. Education in young people and in the future was a key part. It's one of the three main things. Connectivity was one of the three main things. So it's no surprise, it should be no surprise, that the cycle route project is in there, that the towpath, increasing connectivity north and south, is in there, the university, yes, it's been delayed, we'll bring it back at some point later this year, is in there, and the college is in there. It shouldn't come as any surprise to that. The other key, the third key element, was investment in heritage. And that's why the investment in the market hall was one of the things that we went for. We have to recognise, to take the points from various members around the council, we have to recognise that investment into the market hall has been rejected, and now we need to regroup and start again. And even just tonight, in comments made by different councillors, I don't think there's a consensus on what to do with the market hall, and that is why we need a cross-party working group to work up options. I know from speaking to various members that a lot of members want a food hall project developing. Other members want what is there now done better, and I don't think there's a consensus on that, so we need to consult. I think a few calls for more consultation. We'll consult more. Project D has got various different projects in there, and there will have to be more consultation and more work and more detail needs to be done. I think Councillor Saeed asked about I wasn't quite sure what the comments were around the investment in the library. The this Plan B and what's being proposed sees £1.1 million invested in the external library. The County Council are already investing £1.4 in the internal. So there's at least £2.5 million there being invested into the library building, although they are going to revert to their Plan A, option one. I think there's some questions and suggestions that the consultation or that we haven't consulted already, and I think there were some comments as well earlier on an earlier item about the fact that we were told that you couldn't recycle or do anything different, and I think the fact that we are doing things at light speed and we haven't had a chance to go through scrutiny, not that that is something that we do anyway, usually scrutiny comes after decisions have been made. Those two things go together. If we don't get this project supported and funded, supported by the council tonight, and it isn't submitted to government by the 24th, there is a very real risk that the money will be lost. And it is only down to the support of officers and determination of members, not just myself, I'm going to speak for myself, but members around me as well, to try and rescue this, that we're able to come back to the council 21 days later. But there was a very real risk, and there still is a risk, as Councillor Clark pointed out. There is no guarantee that the government will still fund it to its full extent, and we'll have to wait and see, and I'll certainly be hoping that they will see the vision that we've got. In terms of, I think Councillor Lamb mentioned third phase on the towpath. Yes, I was hoping that we would have enough funding to recycle into that third project. It's entirely up to ESVC and up to us whether or not we do that. I know some members have asked if we can progress that outside of the Towns Fund, as we will with the Market Hall, and as Councillor Fletcher confirmed and reminded members that I have already committed to finding a sustainable option for the Market Hall, and we should consider whether or not we can also invest in funding into that third phase of the towpath, if that is what members want to do. I think that picks up more or less all the points that I had. I think the one bit I wanted to mention, just some comments around scrutiny and whether or not it's not whether or not it's still relevant. Well, and there's some comments around as well about cycle project. The cycle route project hasn't changed at all, and so it certainly didn't change on in January when it went through scrutiny. Very, very few comments and questions there, and that's a shame, because I think there's a missed opportunity there to scrutinise that one. Those questions that have been asked tonight could have been answered then. Certainly no change between Plan A and Plan B. I will just reference the three most commented or most important points that residents came back to us over the three phases of consultation that we did for Project D. They were concerns around the library move, or moving from Project D, were concerns around food hall on Project D and the necessity for it, is it really needed, and then the staircase. As I mentioned before, it wasn't the most attractive feature against the heritage asset. And all those three things have now been changed. The library isn't moving and it's getting investment. The food hall is now changing for a visitor centre, which, as various members have confirmed, is something that the public wants to see. And the staircase is now going to be a different option, and there's a different scheme going to come forward with an internal staircase. So in terms of whether the scrutiny is relevant, of course it's relevant, because that is the way that we did extensive scrutiny on Project D, three phases, many different comments, and a lot of engagement with the public. We can still use that consultation for Plan B. So I don't think I have anything else, Madam Mayor, on this. I will, of course, continue to engage with members as and when things come up. As I say, there's many different projects. We've certainly got to engage with opposition leaders about the purchase of Molson Coors land. That really is the main implication to ESBC, and that will come in a few short weeks. And then there'll be more consultation with each of the projects that are on Project D as well. We've still got to work out what the new visitor centre looks like, how it's laid out. All of those things need to come forward, but it is important that the council supports the programme tonight, so that Town Deal Board, can support it on the 24th. And I hope to be going back to the Town Deal Board with good news, Madam Mayor. Thank you. No, nothing more to say.
Mayor, I would like to propose two amendments, please, under Part 3, Section 16. The first one, if Councillor Allen can confirm that we as a group, the IRG group, are going to be... Is there some problem, Councillor Allen? I can propose an amendment to your recommendations of the report.
It would have been helpful if you proposed it earlier, Councillor
Allen. Well, I was listening to the debate.
Well, come on. Carry on.
Thank you. Perhaps if you answer... Sorry, Councillor Allen, is there some sort of problem? No? So, Councillor Allen,
please carry on.
Thank you. Councillor Allen, if you can confirm that the IAG group will be involved in the cross-party talks and not be excluded like before, I won't need to put the second amendment in. Is that the case?
Sorry, Madam Mayor, I'm not sure we're in line with the debating procedure here, so I'm looking to the Monitoring Officer for some advice.
I'm just waiting for some advice.
Sorry, I'll wait then.
I'm proposing an amendment under Section 16, Part 3A of the Constitution, and that is to the recommendations.
Right. Which could you just give me the item that you quoted, please, the number that you quoted?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm seeking clarification from Councillor Allen about the recommendation at 12.4 of the report.
Yeah, but it was which standing order that you...
Oh, Section 16, Part 3A, amendments to motions.
Right.
Is that 16.18,
Councillor Orr? Yeah. Okay. I think the amendment is accepted, Councillor Florence Jukes. However, I don't think interrogation of the leader like that is acceptable. I think you need to put both amendments forward, and then we'll see whether they are voted through or not. So would you please do that?
Thank you, Mayor. That's what I was trying to do. Thank you.
Well, you were trying to circumvent it, weren't you? So
no,
by asking the leader to answer that question. That was my interpretation of it.
Okay,
so just carry on with what you were doing then.
Point of order, please, Madam Mayor. Could I just ask some clarification on the rules of debate? So under the Constitution, under Part 3, under motions on notice, it states that a motion is debated... Amendments then may be proposed under Rule 16.8, and then the diagram moves on to the mover of the original motion has the right of reply. Because Councillor Allen has already had the right to reply to the debate, does that not now mean that the debate is closed and amendments can no longer be proposed?
Well, that is just exactly the issue that we have been trying to decide here as to whether that was the case. And because there isn't any specific mention of what has happened now, that's why I made my ruling for that.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Mayor, I propose we move to the vote.
We can't... Sorry, Councillor Hall, amendment has been proposed, so we need to consider that first. Right, Councillor Florence Jukes, would you proceed now, please?
Thank you. So I've got two amendments. Would you like them in turn?
Yes, please.
So the first one is 12.3 of the report. The original recommendation is that Council agrees to the principle of the final decision to purchase the Molson Coors being delegated to the Leader of the Council and Deputy Leader for Finance in consultation with the Leader of the Opposition, Leader of the Independent Alliance Group and Chief Executive. I'm proposing to strike all of that and replace it with that the final decision to purchase the Molson Coors High Street campus be decided by full council. That's the first one. The second one at 12.4 currently reads that the council begins a review of sustainable options for the market hall to include a cross-party working group with a view to future investment from the council subject to viability. What I'm proposing is to insert after the word working group, comma, to include main and minority opposition groups. That's what I was trying to establish from Councillor Allen, if he was intending to include us. So my amendment reads that the council begins a review of sustainable options for the market hall to include a cross-party working group to include main and minority opposition groups with a view to future investment from the council subject to viability.
If you could bring those down, please. Thank you. Okay, so you've heard Councillor Florence Jukes read out those two amendments. If we look at the first amendment, which is the change in the final decision being monitored, do I have a seconder for that second amendment? Thank you, Councillor Grosvenor. Do you wish to speak now, or do you wish to... Okay. So let's take that, then. Does anybody wish to speak on that amendment? Councillor Allen?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think without disrespecting you, Madam Mayor, your decision to continue with an amendment even after the debate's concluded, we debated this at the last council meeting. It is something that ESVC have done for many years. It's indeed done under the previous leader, Councillor Grosvenor. Delegating decision to cabinet members to purchase is not something that's unusual at all. So I can't support the amendment. We debated it on the 28th, and the council couldn't support it either. So, in that respect, I'm happy to honour what council decided last time. I'll listen to the council on this occasion, and I will not support the amendment.
Okay. Anybody else like to speak on this particular amendment? Councillor Florence Jukes, did you have anything that you wanted to add to your amendment statement? I know Councillor Grosvenor's got to come back now, but did you, on that particular one, did you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, thank you. It is a huge capital project, and it's something that we as a council, the full council, should be involved in the decision making of. That doesn't mean to say that it's going to fail. What it means is that we all get to contribute towards it. I did ask last time, if you recall, about what does consultation with the leader of the opposition and leader of the Independent Alliance Group actually mean. I'm not convinced that we would have any say in any debate at all. It would just be Councillor Allen perhaps telling us, Councillor Fitzpatrick and I, what he intends, that the consultation with us is perhaps meaningless. That's the point I'm getting at, that why not let, for openness, transparency, accountability, why not let full council decide on something that's so important?
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Grosvenor, then, would you like to respond?
Yeah, thanks. As Councillor Florence Jukes just said, £5.25 million of an outlay for the council to purchase the Molson Coors site is the current proposals. It may not be unusual to delegate that purchase of land to cabinet members. This is, I would suggest, an unusual project. It's a town deal project, the purchase of a large portion of land, currently privately owned, to develop as part of a town deal implementation. Councillor Allen referred to a previous decision with regards to allowing a small group of members to decide on a land deal. That was actually on the sale of Bargates, which the proposal was that only after a successful planning application recommendation was granted at the committee would we then consider selling a parcel of land at Bargates to the developer. That allowed for a debate of some nature to be taken by a larger group of councillors of planning applications as to whether approval was given. This one doesn't allow for anything to come back to full council at all, just allows it to go to two people to make a decision and effectively, as Councillor Florence Jukes has said, tell to other people what they've done. I do think it needs to come to council. Obviously members won't necessary. I agree with that. I completely see that. But I think for openness and transparency, it does need to come back to full council to review. And that's why I second the amendment. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Florence Jukes, would you like to add anything? Right, we're going to move to the vote. The vote on the amendment. Those for the amendment, please show. Those against, please show. Any abstentions? Motion's been lost by 20 to 12. So we'll look at Amendment 12.4 now. Councillor Florence Jukes.
Thank you, Mayor. This is quite a simple amendment, actually. All it's calling for is that it's actually clarified that cross-party means the main opposition and the minority opposition groups. That's all it means. Basically, we were excluded as a group of four from the negotiations or renegotiations of the Town Deals Board. And in silencing our four voices, it's not just our four voices that are being silenced, it's the thousands of people that we represent in Branston, in Burton, in Stretton, in Horninglow. People that have voted for us to be involved in democracy, and we're being excluded from that. So this amendment just seeks to put in black and white that we will be involved in such important decision making.
Thank you. I have a seconder for that. Councillor Grosvenor, do you wish to speak or is there... Would anybody like to speak on this motion, on this amendment? Councillor Allen?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And this is where I think we... It's pretty obvious why we're operating outside the debating procedure, because that question could have come as part of the debate and it would have been very easily confirmed. Yes, that's what cross-party group means. So perhaps Councillor Florence Jukes wants to withdraw the amendment.
It's my decision, Councillor Allen. It's my decision to accept the amendment. Do you wish to respond, Councillor Florence Jukes? There's no compulsion on you to. Right. Okay, would anybody else like to speak on the motion? Councillor Grosvenor?
Yeah, thanks. I've seconded the motion, Stephen, because I absolutely support it. I hear what Councillor Allen just said with regards to saying that this clarification isn't needed. I think it is. That's why the amendment's been raised. It's needed because clearly the cross-party talks that have taken place until this point didn't include four councillors, one of which actually represents the ward that's going to be majorly affected by the proposals on the table this evening. Not everybody in Branston supports the project, Madam Mayor, so there are two councillors clearly that would represent the people in Branston would support that. I represent people in Branston that do not support that. The same for Stretton, and the same for Councillor Florence Jukes in Horninglow. We've been excluded. That's the reason for the amendment. Just put it in black and white to confirm that, and to confirm that it's going to be happening. It's not going to be withdrawn, Councillor Allen, because it needs to be made clear that that's what will happen, and that's why I support the amendment. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Florence Jukes, have you got anything else to add? We'll move to the vote then. Those for this amendment. Any against? Any abstentions? The amendment is carried. We now move to the substantive motion. Do you want to vote, Councillor Walker? Well, you better stay. Just for a minute. Okay, I'd like to call for a named vote on this item. Could I have councillors to show support, please, for a named vote? Come on. Yep, that's fine. We can proceed. The monitoring officer will take the names.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, once again, I'll read out your names in alphabetical order. If you could let me know if you're for, against, or abstaining, I'd be very grateful. Councillor Ackroyd.
For.
Councillor Allen.
For.
Councillor Ashcroft.
For.
Councillor Barker.
For.
Councillor Beach.
For.
Councillor Brady.
For.
Councillor Bilf.
For.
Councillor Chowdhury.
For.
Councillor Clark.
For.
Councillor Faulkner.
For.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
For.
Councillor Fletcher.
For.
Councillor Florence Dukes.
For.
Councillor Gaskin.
For.
Councillor Goodfellow.
For.
Councillor Gould.
For.
Councillor Grosvenor. Councillor Hadley.
Abstain.
Councillor Hall.
For.
Councillor Hallenhall.
For.
Councillor Sain.
For.
Councillor Curran.
For.
Councillor Lamb.
For.
Councillor Legg.
For.
Councillor Locke.
For.
Councillor McGarry.
For.
Councillor McKiernan.
For.
Councillor Metcalfe.
For.
Councillor Peters.
For.
Councillor Sankey.
For.
Councillor Shrive.
Abstain.
Councillor Sylvester.
For.
Councillor Toon.
For.
Councillor Louise Walker.
Abstain.
Councillor Paul Walker.
Abstain.
Councillor Whittaker.
For.
And finally, Councillor Wellman.
For.
I'll just ratify the votes.
Oh dear. I don't remember saying that we'll have a break, but as a lot of people seem to be in need, I will have 5 minutes break. Just be quick, please. So the result was 32-4, 1 against and 4 abstentions. The plan is carried. We are now on to item 10, the Corporate Plan Refresh 2022-23. I invite the Leader of the Council to propose and present this item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I've just got a few points to make about the successes that we've done, that we've made in the last year under the leadership of Councillor Goodfellow. I was pleased, we just talked about Towns Fund programme, so I thought it was appropriate to start by pointing out that we, not to be forgotten, the investment on the High Street in Burton-on-Trent, that funding came from
Towns Fund monies from the government, as because we were recipients of the Towns Fund money, Town Deal. That saw public investment, public realm improvement all the way along the street, including new cycle routes along there as well. We consulted further on the Uttoxeter Master Plan, a nice, gentle issue in Uttoxeter. At this time last year, I had a lot of discussions with various, hundreds probably, of residents when I was doing the face-to-face consultations. Very pleased with the response that we've got. I had very number of members that were residents that were leading critics of that then contact me after and say they were very pleased with the further